Well, look who the cat dragged in. Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma. Today, Count Henry has prepared quite a special episode for you indeed. We will get lost in some caves, meet the devil himself, and some other lesser-known monstrosities. So lock your doors and turn down the lights and enjoy this mysterious episode. Hello, people in the spooky season.
Ooh, so scary.
That's the best you got? Holy shit, I'll have to edit that out.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't... Yeah, that's absolutely peaking based on...
Okay, I'll work around it. But anyways, well, dear listeners, welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma, a podcast where me, Rudy, and my co-host Henry look at missing explorers and try to find where did they go.
Yes, yes. You know, one thing I've noticed is that we do these introductions very inconsistently. Like, one day we do them at the top, like right now, and one day we just do them like, well, like 3-4 minutes into that. So.
And that's why people love us.
Yes.
Because we hit them with the 1-2, it's the unpredictable. It's like, which corner is he going to come out of, huh? Like Two-Eyed Johnny.
Welcome to the only podcast that doesn't know how to spell its own name 4 weeks into the production.
Oh yeah, wait, did we actually talk about that in the podcast?
No, we haven't. This is the first episode since we found that out.
Oh yeah, we can talk about that a bit later, but would you like to introduce the story then?
The story already?
No, the story about us not knowing how to spell.
Oh, yeah. So basically, Rudy came up with this name, or we started like thinking about the idea of the podcast basically a long time ago, but we settled on this idea like at the end of August, and then Rudy came up with the name, and then we spelled it with double L instead of double M. And because we, like, capitalized the dilemma in Word documents and stuff, it never showed up because Word just thinks it's a name. So basically, we misspelled it. We made a new email address with the misspelling. We were pretty far into, like, having everything set up, and then Rudy found out, wait a second, it's misspelling.
Yeah, I was just working on one of the Google Docs, and I didn't capitalize the word dilemma because I think I was writing a description for one of the episodes or the whole podcast, and then Google's like, but wait, this word is not correct. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not correct?
Well, luckily we were able to fix it. We didn't have everything set up yet, so.
Yeah. It was still, like, when I found out, I was like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah, it was not ideal. But, in the end, we're fine. And now, this is also the first episode where we can officially say we have a Twitter.
Yeah, but we're gonna plug that at the end of the episode, alright?
Yes, I'm just updating. Yes.
Okay. Actually, talking about updates, so this is the first episode we actually record after releasing the podcast. So, Henry, how do you feel?
I feel great. Yay.
All right.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's cool to see the reception.
Yeah, listeners, I've been trying my hardest to, like, everything that has been, because, first of all, thank you very much for the warm welcome. I've received so many heartwarming messages of support and just, you know, some people recommend something, which is fine, and I love that because that gives us new ideas. And I've been trying to outsource the same love to Henry because all of you just blasted it to me, and then I just keep relaying it to Henry. So right. I hope, Henry, you received the love.
Yes, I did. I mean, it's my own fault for not having any social media or whatever, so don't worry about it.
So if anyone wants to say specifically something to Henry, let me know. I'll let him know word to word verbatim.
Or you can send it to our email address, huh? That I'm not going to plug here because otherwise Rudy will get mad, apparently. No plugs up top, huh?
That is right. You don't even try.
I won't, and I didn't, and I haven't, and I won't.
Also,
and I didn't.
there's a thing, Henry, that I kind of kept from you for a bit because I want to see your reaction, but I have started a new tea saga.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's now Honeybush Fruity Mango.
All right, that just doesn't hit as good as the boss fruit. I will not lie. What was it? Honey Fruit Tea Mango? What was it?
Honeybush, all right? Let's get honey it right, bush,
okay?
Okay. Honeybush Fruity Mango. It's something like that a kid came up with as a name, I think.
What the fuck is a honeybush? Honey is produced by bees, right? What, it's just somebody throws honey in a bush and they're like, wow, it's a honey bush.
God damn it.
And then fruity mango? Okay, well, interesting combo, I guess. Is it tasty then?
It's quite, yes. In my bitter life, I need some sugar. Yes, please. Fuck him, though. He cheated on his wife, apparently.
Who's that?
Adam Levine.
Oh, I actually don't know him by name. I know the song, though. Well, I'm still on my last coffee blend I have been on since before the summer.
What the hell? How do you make it last so long?
I don't know. It's not like I portion it, like... I feel like I portion it appropriately, but somehow it's still here. It's crazy.
It's spooky, might one. You know,
oh my god, say. The never-ending coffee! No!
Oh yeah, right. Can I do my favorite segment for a bit?
Sure. I don't know what's coming.
Italians.
Oh god, I didn't know what's coming. I can't believe I fell for it.
God damn Italians. It's so hard to actually hang out with them. Because those fucks, well, one fuck specifically, figured out that I am, like... So they don't want to specifically hang out with me, but I'm useful for, like, labs and stuff. So they just text me when they need something from the lab. So, Henry, I'm being used.
You're being used for your knowledge.
Yes. I just want to hang out, and then they just like, yo, but what about the labs?
Well, what can I say? I'm quite speechless at this development.
I was literally crying. This is what you did to me, Italians.
Oh my god, he cannot speak.
Wait, talking about what the Italians did to me, holy Jesus, I saw something. So basically, this is also the first episode we record after a big party that I went to, which is the graduation party for our university.
Congrats on graduating, Rudy. Yay.
I didn't, but thanks. And so I did meet randomly Italians also there, right? And it's like nice, like they're vibing, and I was like kind of close to them, just dancing with some other of our friends, right? Mm-hmm. And then this one dude, right, knowing fully well there's like a raging homosexual standing besides him, me, right? Like one of the Italian dudes, like he pulled his hoodie off, but his shirt came up, and boy, oh boy, me and my 8 beers, I counted those abs. So
that's not his fault.
It's definitely his fault.
No, you can't say that. That's just gonna happen when you take a hoodie off. That's just natural. That's the course of nature, Rudy.
Course of nature.
Yes.
To make me sell it, I'm not gonna say that. We
excuse
already had that
you.
Episode of me being
excuse
horny.
You. Yeah. So let's tone it down right now. All right. Well, glad to hear that happened, I guess. should we get into it?
Well, sure, Henry the host.
All right. Well, today we have a bit of a special episode in it. It will deviate a bit from the format because today is the Halloween special. And I tried to pick something spooky. This is not very spooky. This is not spooky at all, might I add. But it is a special episode in that there's a bit of a twist in both the format and the outcome. So, ooh. I'm just saying right now for Rudy and for the listeners, rather, there's one detail of this story that I will leave out until the end, and you get to guess what this detail is. And
oh, that seems very interesting. I love this.
Yes, I won't explicitly refer to it, but... you should be able, or you could be able to notice it in the way I talk about this story, what this detail is.
What is this?
It's a bit of a mystery, quite. So, It's also, we're not really dealing with an explorer this time, but it's more of a bit of a missing persons case. You know, Halloween style.
Okay.
This will be a one-off, though, so next week and the weeks after we'll be back to the regular.
If you go missing after this episode and you're not an explorer, get fucked. You're not gonna. Yeah. We're not gonna feature you. Bye.
First of all, you're not cool, and second of all, bye.
Unless you guys really wanna, like, fight for the next year's Halloween special, there's gonna be some competition, because it's only one episode per year, but, like, you can try.
But yeah, so, you know, a couple special episodes are fun. We might also do something interesting for Christmas, but that's far down the line. Alright, is that everything I needed to say? Yes, alright, well, in that case, let's really get into it. So, I'm going to start off with the era, and you will be interested to find out this happened this year.
Huh?
Not but 4 months ago did this saga start.
Wow, actually, it's
quite recent, and watch what you say, buddy boy, because, you know, they might come get us.
Okay. I shall lock my doors in this Halloween special.
Yeah, before they come knocking at 11 in the morning. Ooh.
Well, when the episode, you know what? Let's keep it timeless, because people at home don't know when we're recording.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Actually recording at midnight. It's full moon.
Sorry,
right
this
now.
Is a timeless episode recording at 11 a.m. on the 8th of October. So,
for fuck's sake.
All right. So here we go. This is, like I said, not much of a missing explorer, rather a bit of a missing persons case. But there are. I will still recall some elements of exploration. So don't worry. Alright, our subject is Abby Bonert. Alright. She, at the time of the events, and still, is 13 years old. Or I guess at the time of the events, I actually don't quite know.
13 years old.
How she's
I hope this is not a story about a pedophile.
It won't be, don't worry.
Okay.
That would be, I don't know.
What a special that would be.
Yeah, that would be quite special, but not really. Yeah, no. It's not nothing like that, so don't worry.
Okay.
So, Abby's 13 years old. She was adopted by her caretaker, Jeff Boner. And her sister, Summer, was also...
Sorry to interrupt. Their surname's Boner?
Bonert, sorry.
Oh.
But it's kind of... I'm sorry, I misspelled it here. It's with an H anyway, okay? I'm really sorry to everybody out there.
Good high school years, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, probably. Our sister Summer was also adopted. So, there's not much info about Abby. I mean, you know, it's just a 13-year-old. So I will talk more about the environment rather than Abby herself. So just a regular 13-year-old hanging out at home, playing with friends, etc., etc. And the place where they lived is, this is the one time you can pull up Google Maps.
I'm ready.
It's not that, what's it called, center to the story where they lived, but, you know, it's still interesting anyway. It's Perryville in Missouri.
Perryville in Missouri.
So, Perryville is located in Perry County, Missouri, which is in the Midwest of the United States.
Wow, the picture they have on Google Maps for the viewers at home is just, if you guys know and love horror movies or just have seen a horror movie, the church in like Annabelle or the La Llorona, that's what the picture is. It's literally those churches.
Don't try to look it up too much right now or else you might come across a story. And
okay, I just pulled up to see where it is, nothing else.
Yeah, alright, so that's the location. It's close to the Mississippi River. And it's only a small town of around 8,500 inhabitants. And there's not a lot of notable things about it, except, and this will be the main topic of today, and something I will reveal, even they did not know this at the time of the disappearance, but since it's a bit key to the story, I will just reveal this now.
Okay.
Missouri is one of the states in America with some of the most caves in the entire country. With 702 caves in Perry County alone.
Ho, ho, ho. That's quite some.
There's so,
people with what's it called? What's that fear of tight space?
Claustrophobia.
Claustrophobia. This is episode for you.
I would say argue the opposite, more like. Yeah, I guess let's make this a soft side. Have you ever seen like those like caving videos, really? Of, like, or have you ever watched like a cave horror movie?
Yeah, the thing is, it's weird when it comes to claustrophobic things for me, because I have traveled, you know, and I have been to some caves, some of which have been quite, you know, narrow, or like it's close. It's not like I would have to crawl, you know, it's still a guided tour, but like,
yes,
I didn't feel very uncomfortable, apart from the, you know, like that you're so like you don't see daylight and it's kind of like diminishing at that point. But whenever, yes, I see videos and or like movies about caving, I just cannot watch it, because I feel like, holy shit, this is like, this makes me very uncomfortable. And it's only when I watch things, not actually do things. So it's kind of weird.
No, I get that. I'm exactly the same way. You know, the thing is, when you're on those guided tours where it's just walking, there really isn't like anything to be afraid of, because these are like well-established passages, like, you know, well researched. It's a specific like tour across locations. It's never tight that you have to crawl. Like, that's fine. I'm also wildly uncomfortable when I watch like just somebody squeeze through a tight hole in a cave. That shit is disgusting to me.
Quite scary, yeah.
And I've also seen a couple of horror movies about caving. One was like a cave diving movie, and the part where I turned it off is when they started panicking because they couldn't find their oxygen tank, and they were like, one person was basically drowning and the other person had to share, but it was kind of like a panicky moment, and I don't know, not good with that
have
stuff.
Have I seen any good horror movies within caves? I think I've seen one that I remember is something about some golems living in a cave and people found.
Oh, was that the Paris Catacombs thing movie?
No, I have not seen that one. People have told me to like watch it, but I have not seen that one, no.
Okay, yeah, have I haven't watched it either. No. It's just, I know that one is a thing. If I watch a horror movie, it's not going to be caving, because that shit is, I don't know. I want as little as possible to do with that.
I mean, you know, like with friends, horror movies just become a part of the entertainment industry. Because like, bruh, I think it was, with whom was I? So basically like watching a horror movie with a friend, right? Kills me till this day. We're like watching a horror movie. It's like a very intense moment, right? And we're all scared.
Yeah.
But then the monster, let's put him that way, turns around, and and one of my friends just goes, you know the classic meme, sir, this is Wendy's. Until like since that point in the movie, which was like halfway, none of us were scared anymore. Like literally one line killed for the whole movie.
Yeah, I get that. I mean that is fun, but like, I don't know, caving, it's just not like that for me. Those kinds of
little hobbits is going into my caves.
And the other caving movie I watched, I don't remember what it was about anymore, but it left a very big impression on me. Because, first of all, that was the second time I ever fainted, and the first time I ever fainted during a movie.
Wait, right. I don't get how you faint in a movie.
I mean, this was, okay, so we were just sitting at home. It was like a caving movie. I don't remember, it's maybe a bit, maybe I shouldn't explain this in, I don't know, it's kind of gruesome. I can still see this scene, and it's still disgusting to me. But basically,
okay, so it's basically a disgusting scene, let's put it that way.
Yes. It wasn't, in this case, it wasn't a claustrophobia, but this person was just trying to cross a gap, and they fell, and their hair got caught, and it pulled out, like, So, I will just leave it at that, but it was very disgusting, and then I'm not good with, like, disgusting scenes and blood, so I just straight up fainted.
Call me pass out.
Also,
bye.
I can add that I was, like, 14 at the time, so it was a long time ago.
Oh, of course, why would you watch that at 14? Then I guess I did play Outlast when I was 13, so I guess...
It was family movie night.
Family?
Alright, anyway, we're getting sidetracked a lot here. I will just talk a bit about caving for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So just some fun caving facts. And then we're gonna come back to Abby.
All right.
Okay. So, caving, you know, it's been done. People have explored cave systems for a long time. The oldest record of a cave map from, Rudy, guess where?
Of a cave
map? Which country?
Oh, which country? Must be somewhere in Africa, right?
No. No. A man-made cavern in Puzzuoli, Napoli, called Stufa di Nerone, dating back to 1546. That's the oldest mapped cave. So there has definitely been cave exploration before that, but it's a bit
sick
of
Italians.
Yeah, it's not the easiest subject to research. So this is the first mapped cave. So I figured that's also a good benchmark, you know. That was a man-made cave, though. The first natural cave to be explored was in Baumannshöhle in Rübeland, which is in Saxony-Anhalt in Germany. That's in 1656. Hmm. And the first cave explored with, like, tools and instruments to map out the cave was the Grotte de Miramont in France in 1765. So, you know, it's quite a few steps in hundreds of years.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go unprepared. Then again, people go up the mountains sometimes stupidly, as we already know from the first episode.
yes. Anyway, so much like other types of explorations, like, for example, mountaineering, cave exploring technology has advanced rapidly over the last 100 years, with a lot more tech becoming available to explore inside, like, so actually physically you go inside, but also from outside with, like, I have to assume, like, ultrasonic stuff like that, you know?
Bats.
To just let the computer, let the computer map out the caves. So, yeah, it's advanced a lot, and with that, caving as a hobby also started to become a thing. So it's kind of a recent thing. Since 1892 in Yorkshire, that's one of the oldest caving clubs. For specifically recreational caving
clubs.
Can't
you get a better hobby? Literally going to freaking caves to just, like, you know, see walls of rock? What is this dwarf shit? I just watched the Rings of Power, the newest episode. What is this?
Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't be my first choice either. I honestly don't understand that anybody does this, but, you know, people enjoy it, I guess. And it's also, so around this time, it's not only it started to become a recreational thing, but also a lot of, like, cave explorations and modern cave maps come from this era, or starting from this era, where a lot of people become, cave explorers as a job, you know, just like mountaineering, in the same sort of fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you might know, caving is a dangerous hobby. A lot can go wrong.
Never knew.
Well, okay, it depends. If you prep right, this is another note I wrote down. Most risks in caving are avoidable nowadays, as long as you are sensible as a caver, take the correct precautions, and don't push further than you know you can handle.
Isn't that just the general guidelines for any sort of dangerous hobbies? Like, you put these guidelines in front of, for example, I don't know, electrical systems lab in our uni, and it's probably the same rules.
Yeah, is electrical systems lab, is that a hobby to you?
Some people might use it as a hobby.
I mean, yes, fair enough, but, like, when you're, like, in a very physical, like, space, it's, I would say...
You know what, you're right, because sometimes I go to the metaphysical phases, and then those places are just, those are different guidelines.
Okay, I see that you're shitting on me, and I resent this, but I will move on with my story. So, still a lot can go wrong, and you can also get fucked by some coincidences, you know? Like, it's not guaranteed to just be okay even if you are sensible. I already said that. Sorry, I'm reading my notes here. There's many possible causes of death, and here's...
For example, bears.
Yes, exactly. They also squeeze through those tight spaces to eat your ass. Here's a small quiz segment for you. How many deaths related to caving do you think there have been recorded in the UK?
For what
I might add here that the record starts at 1909.
1909. Oh, till this day.
Yes.
All right. So, caves, UK. But UK doesn't have many caves. What do they have? Stonehenge. And they also don't really have bears, but then they have chavs. Maybe those chavs hang out in the caves.
Yeah, and they kill intruders.
Yeah, they just like they measle themselves in Bovril and slither around.
Okay.
But I would take say a guess. That's quite a big time schedule, though. It's like more over than a century now.
Yes.
You know what? Fuck it. I'ma go for 2000.
That's way too much.
Okay, then let me another guess, please. Good price, just for okay. me.
Yeah, go ahead. You get three guesses. How about that?
Oh, very nice of you. Okay, so this now is become a statistical question, because what was the strategy? Cut it by half and then by a third. 750.
That's also still way too much.
Okay, cut it by a half and one third. But I'm gonna go off the rails and I'm gonna say 100.
Okay, that's close. It's 136.
Yes, I'll take that
and
personal win.
The majority of which died between the 1960s and the 2000s. So before that, I guess caving was still not that big, and after the 2000s, I think stuff just got a lot safer. Safer still, you know, mm-hmm. Makes sense. And now here a fun follow up. And I will stress that this is very fun. What do you think is the most, or is the main cause of death in caving? Also specifically in the UK.
Fish and chips.
Huh?
Uncooked fish and chips.
Right.
Die from food poisoning and then they go into the caves to die in solitude. Because a British person cannot fathom that fish and chips could be undercooked.
Food poisoning is not one on the list, unfortunately.
Okay, but the most common is, I mean, falling and splitting your skull open.
It's drowning.
Oh.
And that, you can imagine, that's quite unpleasant as well. So this is also in cave diving, obviously, this is the main cause of death, but also just in regular caving, when it starts to suddenly rain or there's a flash flood. You can't really get out and you just, well, die. Followed by injuries from falling. So, not the worst guess, huh, King?
Yeah.
Injuries by falling rocks on your head.
Hit them with the 1-2.
I guess final question. How many cavers in the UK, again, specifically, do you think died because they got stuck?
Stuck as in, like, they, like, couldn't get out.
Yes, and then they got stuck and they weren't able to get him out anymore.
It was 136 the total, right?
Yes.
And of those, as you didn't name it as one of the main causes, I would say 30.
It's a 1.
Ha!
So getting stuck is really not the most, you know, it's not that
homie
common.
Homie representing the most plausible cause. At least according to the movies.
Yes.
They really looked at that one dude and they were like, let's make whole entertainment industry about caving on that dude.
So true. Okay. That's the end of our caving.
Yeah, I was going to ask, actually, what happened to Abby?
Yes. One last thing about caving is actually a couple more causes of death can be hypothermia, physical exhaustion. And here's an interesting one for warmer regions. Fungal infections from bat shit or bacterial infections from rat piss. So, you know. Okay, moving on back to Abby. That was just a bit of an extra segment because we don't have a lot of information on Abby.
All right.
The cave system where she did go missing, but it was not known until after the operation, is the Barome Moor Cave, which was discovered in 1961, also in Missouri, of course. Mm-hmm. It's one of Missouri's second... Sorry, I mistyped this in my notes. It's Missouri's second largest cave, with a length of around 33 kilometers, so quite deep. Sorry, that's not depth, that's just, like, general...
Yeah, I know, but it's still, like, a lot of cave, you know?
Yeah, it is a lot of cave. It has also a lot of large segments, and there are tours around this cave, so... there have up until this point, there were no recorded fatalities in there. And it's a valuable cave for exploration and science. So there's often initiatives about it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, back to Abby. So Abby went out to play one day together with Summer. However, in the evening when Summer came back, Abby was nowhere to be found.
Summer is a friend or a dog?
Summer was the sister.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go. So Summer came back. Jeff was, of course, so the father basically was worried about Abby. But Summer could not say what had happened. So Abby meant missing without a trace, essentially. Hmm. And that is sort of where we are left off. The rest is a bit
so
too much information.
Nothing today.
Yes, there really is not a lot, but it's because of the special detail that this is. Okay. That's why there's not a lot of information.
Okay.
That's a small hint for you
okay.
at home.
Well, I could go because one of my hobbies in late night evenings when everybody's asleep and the moon creeps out of the edge of the clouds is when I start basically listening to horror stories. That's my hobby.
Right.
So I could go with any angle here, but
go for it.
Just
make sure it's cave-related.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm thinking about. And let's start with the classic Chupacabra.
What? Huh? Who?
Excuse me, you don't know the Chupacabra?
The who now? The what now?
You uncultured swine. So Chupacabra, I think, originates from Mexican culture. And it's basically humanoid dog that haunts the forests and caves of that region. And you know, caves are interconnected throughout the whole world. We could really originate this to the hollow earth theory.
What is that?
It's that all caves or biggest caves or whatever, okay, some caves, let's put it that way,
okay,
actually can lead you to the center of the earth, which actually is hollow and there's a whole ecosystem in there.
Right, but nobody ever went there. Is that the...
Oh, they got lost, maybe. Maybe Abby found the Hollow Earth. Or Chupacabra got her. But this is a spooky episode, it could also be the Mothman.
The Mothman?
Yes, another American urban legend.
I've never heard of any of these.
The Mothman is the Mothman. It's actually exactly what you would think. It's a man and a moth.
A man and a moth. So just the flying guy, which eats clothes.
Oh my god, America, beware. The moth one will come for that H&M. For that cotton shit. No, but like, okay, I'm not gonna go into the detail, but it's another urban legend of like, yeah, it's a scary looking dude, kind of terrifying actually, and he just like flies around and kidnaps people, or eats them. Actually, nobody knows, they're gonna know, but they don't know.
Right, so kidnaps and eats, and they call him Mothman because?
Because he's half moth, I suppose. Okay. I was just buying time to come up with the actual plausible ending.
Which was the Chupacabra.
No, I already found a different one. I know
what happened. Boy.
Exactly.
You're fast today. I'm still thinking.
I mean, as per usual, I know exactly what happened. I know why you even try at this point, but
I don't know. You know what? Let's shut off the podcast, actually.
She went into the cave.
Uh-huh.
And she found, well, the doorstep of Lucifer. She found the gates of hell.
That's pretty sad. That's really grim.
No, but like, no. Everybody just assumes that it's grim. But like, I don't know why people do that. In a sense of like, okay, my homie's Lucifer just doing his job. Okay, he did some, I don't know exactly what he did, but biblically, I think he did some wrong and then he was yeeted out of the heaven, fell down to the hell's pits or whatever, I don't know.
But
he runs the club, right? And it's been
thousands
of years at this point. I mean, you get tired of a job. He's probably doing everything possible to make it fun for him. And I doubt that after thousands of years, it still would be fun to just torture people. Maybe he did that when Jesus died. I don't know. But nowadays...
Wait, can I just interrupt? You said you don't know why people think that way, and then you also say, oh, he's torturing people. No. I wonder why people are apprehensive of hell. I don't know.
No, but that's what I'm saying, that maybe it used to be the case, but I definitely believe it's not the case now. Our homie Lucifer is just chilling. So, like, she stabs that, and he's like, okay, wait, like... You know what? Like, the reception, like, the door's open, the reception is there, and they're like, okay, state your name and business, and she's like, well, homie, I got lost. And she was 13 years old, if I remember correctly, right?
Right.
Right. So they were like, okay, I'm gonna be honest, we don't see many of your age category, so, like, what is this? They're like, yo, big boss, come down. He's like, ah, fuck, scheiße, because he's German.
Oh, yeah, he's German. Love that.
He comes down, he's like, what is your business, lady? And no. What is your business, Fraulein? And then she's like, where the fuck am I? Like, what is this? It seems pretty cool. You have, like, fancy lights here. It seems pretty vast. And then Devil is like, okay, there's two options. Either this is the Armageddon. This is the Antichrist delivered to my door. But I thought he's going to be a child. Or this is a big, you know, what the fuck? Like, a big mishap. So, like, what am I going to do about it? And then we go into the trope that actually, it's like a TV series. The most allegedly believed to be terrible creature in existence actually finds their humanity because they have to raise this child who got lost at their doorstep. And actually, it comes to a good resolution.
Okay. So Lucifer, by the way, who you said got bored and is now essentially kidnapping children as his new pastime then.
Well, you put it that way.
Becomes a good guy because he has to fucking be a parent.
Okay, I also have this, by the way, question. Demonic possessions, like, allegedly if those were true. Because, like, okay, when it comes to ghosts, I'm not a believer, but I am willing to believe if somebody would present me actual good evidence, not taken out of your ass in a Nokia whatever.
Right.
But, like, I was thinking about it. So when a demon possesses you, right, or a ghost or whatever.
Right.
How does that work? Are you in there and you're seeing everything through, like, a window, but you can't, like, control your body? Or is it just like that? Like, you always see the ghost, and then you go mad. Like, for example, like, what if it's just, like, you just sit there in a chair, and then you see at the corner of your eye, it's always this one small dude just going, like,
doesn't it kind of depend? I bet what you said about, like, the window is one thing. The thing you said about the ghost sitting in the corner is also one thing. Or, like, a voice that's just in your head
also,
constantly,
that would
be you
modern
know?
Ghosts. Now, imagine if, like, somebody possesses you, and then it's, like, a modern ghost, so they have already, I don't know, they were killed, like, in, like, I don't know, 1950s, right? Or 1980s? And then...
That's what you call a modern ghost?
Oh, shit, 1950s? Let me finish.
Okay.
And then, like, their way of torturing your soul is that's just, like, you perpetually is, like, do you believe in life after love? And it just goes on a loop, Cher just singing to you.
That's not too bad. I'll take that.
Ghosts get him. You heard him.
Jeez.
He's selling his soul to you.
Spare me.
Why?
But put on a sick playlist if you possess me. I'll take that as well, you know?
That's some kink play we're going in.
Huh?
let's move on. What's your theory?
I feel like you just really railroaded that very hard. So I think... This is an elaborate prank that Abby and Summer are playing on Father Jeff, right? Mm-hmm. So they went out to play. They're like, holy shit, look at this cave system. What if we play hide and seek? All right. Abby, will just stay here, hang out. Summer, you go home and be like, I don't know where she is. And then we'll get a search party looking for Abby. Dad will come along and we have a good time. Have just a hide and seek game of hide and seek, you know. Quite fun.
I would shit my
pants. I like playing hide and seek as a kid.
In a cave?
You know? I mean, it's a good place to
it's
hide.
It's all fun and games until you shout Marco Polo and somebody actually answers in a cave where you're supposed to be alone.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the it's all fun and games until you shout Marco Polo and the entire cave system collapses around you.
Imagine Marco, hum! Just fucking dong.
So there you go, you know. That's one thing. That's a possibility. I don't really have a lot, to be honest. I think you...
I mean, it could also be the Headless Horseman.
Wait. Can I just bring it back here for 1 second?
Yeah.
Shit, I already forgot what I was going to say.
So the Headless Horseman is where we left off.
Right, go ahead.
I mean, he must have, like, okay, does he live in, like, a cave or a forest? I know he haunts forests in general, okay? I think that's how the legend goes. But, like, where does he keep the horse? Because the horse is haunted, but it's still a horse. The Headless Isn't Horseman it? Actually... What's a life with your head severed, huh?
What?
Like, what kind of life is that, eh?
What could be that poor Headless Horseman's quality of
also,
life?
Also, can I just say, like, I know this is, like... I don't think this is the original story, but, like, you know Headless Horseman... in different parts of the world for cartoon purposes has been animated in a sense of like it's a horseman and a horse, but instead of a head he has like a carved pumpkin face, you know?
Yeah.
Who the fuck would choose a pumpkin of all things for their head?
Maybe it's just like Halloween.
Let's imagine what else could they like. Could have been a melon. A watermelon.
Wouldn't it just be like a human skull? Wouldn't that be, like, the most logical choice?
Oh, yeah, I guess. I would go for something better. I would go for, like, a coconut.
What about a honey bush? Hmm?
Then you just think that it's a dude with a very bushy hair. All right.
Well, let's go to the resolution, perhaps?
I'm dying to know.
Do you already have the guess to the special element of the story, or not?
Oh, wait. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. I forgot that I had to do that. But let me... So I will guess it now, right? Because you will have to tell me.
I continue talking about the resolution in the same way I have before, or you guess now and I review and I... like...
Talk about the resolution, and then I will guess.
Okay. And I will say I have dropped a couple of hints already, so...
Oh, shit.
Listeners at home, if anybody guesses this, please send us a message because I would be very curious. All right, the potential resolution. So, on the 6th of August, did I date the original missing? I don't remember if I did. In any case, so Abby went missing on the 9th of June, right? So, on the 6th of August, she was found in a cave by a family that was on a guided tour through the Belmore Cave system. So this family found her 150 meters underground. So
what the fuck?
She traveled quite a distance, to be sure. They relayed this to a nearby team of spelunkers who were there like on a scientific exploration. And because they were experienced, they were able to get down to Abby, squeeze through some tight passages to get to Abby. But she had been in the cave for such a long time that she was very weak and in very bad shape. Like, she could barely move. So she was placed in a bag with a blanket to be lifted out for the rest of the process. The rescue operation took a while, but it turned out successfully. And Abby survived, luckily. And she made at least a partial recovery, according to... the news articles I saw, there was not, like, a current update, let's put it that way. So, the question kind of is, how did Abby make it so far into the cave? Well, it's kind of unknown.
Still.
Because Abby herself has not been able to say this either, but it's theorized that she, and here is the big reveal, basically, she was chasing a small animal, and then floods brought her deeper into the cave. So, Rudy, at this point, can you tell me what the detail is?
Okay, wait. 13 years old. What kind of child going to a cave and chase a... Oh, because she's not a child, she's a pet!
Exactly.
Oh my god, it just kind of like a fucking penny drops. I was like, what kind of child would like chase some mice and then get drowned? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yes. The detail is, Abby is a dog. and her sister Summer is also a dog.
Oh.
That's why Summer could not say what happened to Abby, because, well, she's a dog. That's also why I specifically noted them to be adopted by Jeff, which is basically just their owner.
I didn't even think of it that way. That's actually, I like this. That was a nice twist.
Yes. I mean, I tried to tell the story in a way that it's, like, plausible as a human, but you can also tell it's a child, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can tell it's a human, but it's also, like, in the end, you can tell it's a dog, basically.
It's a furry.
Holy shit. But yeah, so, I don't know. Poor Abby, she was just, like, lying down, basically curled up in a ball when she was found. And they were, because she's a dog, it wasn't the hardest rescue, you know. It's only a small dog as well. It's not the smallest, but I actually don't know the breed, but it's like, I don't have a direct, it's a bit bigger than, it's bigger than a beagle, let's put it that way.
Okay.
But smaller than a golden retriever, so just take the middle point of that.
The average.
And that's about how tall Abby was. But yeah, so they made it out. She was reunited with her owner, and yeah, so happy ending. I think she might have fallen into the cave system as well. That's also a possibility.
Yeah, but she found her way. Dogs have very, like, impeccable sense. You probably heard those stories or seen movies of, like, dogs getting, you know, somehow displaced from their owners for, like, thousands of miles and still, like, coming back home.
Yeah. I mean, the dogs are good. That's my note of the day.
Honestly, this episode, dogs, we love you. Well, okay, I don't love all dogs. I don't like the mops.
Mops? Oh, yeah, I don't.
The ones that look like literal sponges walking around. Like, you could mop the floors with them. I don't know how they're called, the breed, but...
Yeah, I agree. So, in general, this episode is dedicated to dogs. There we go. Yeah, so it was a bit of a special episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. If anybody did get it, please let us know.
Oh yeah, do know. And then, Henry, plug it in.
As you guys know from up top, we have a Twitter now. At the Vagabond Dilemma. So just exactly the title of the show is the Twitter.
Yay!
We also have an email at exactly the same email address, thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. So if you have any reactions, suggestions, or anything else, basically, for the show, please send it in. Right there.
Italians, if you're too shy to slide in my DMs, Gmail.
Yes, you can also slide into the DMs of 000rudis000 on Instagram.
Oh, that's so nice of you! Yes, Italians, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting.
If you're Italian, you have a special pass in there. So
let's
go for it.
I was gonna say back entrance pass, but that kind of...
Yeah, so that was today's episode. Thank you for listening, everybody. Yeah, I hope you had fun, and bye.
Bye-bye!